We'd like now to move to the distinguished panel, and our first speaker will be His Excellency Dr. Imad Mustafa, who is the Syrian ambassador to the United States. Prior to his post, Dr. Mustafa was Dean of the Faculty of Information Technology at the University of Damascus and Secretary General of the Arab School on Science and Technology. He was a member of the Syrian team responsible for drafting reform strategies for the ministries of culture, education, and higher education in his country. He is a versatile writer with a long list of publications, both in Arabic and in English. There are many, many more things I could tell you about him, but briefly, the ambassador is included or is interested in globalization, cultural identity, social and economic impacts of the Internet. He's also highly educated in the computer, and there's so much more to tell you, but because we want to hear from him directly, I bring to you His Excellency Dr. Imad Mustafa, the ambassador of Syria.
Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon. I was kindly invited to address a thorny issue today. And specifically, of course, everybody knows what is this issue. It is the so-called Syria Accountability Act. In a very short time, I would like to give you my comments on this American legislation, our strategic perspective of, and viewpoints towards the relations between Syria and the United States, who we really believe should be accounted for, what, and why is the so-called Syria Accountability Act bad? It is bad for Syria, it's bad for the United States of America, but also why it is bad as well for Israel. Of course, at a later time, I would be happy to respond to all your questions, if the chairwoman would allow me. I think that the real core reason behind the Syria Accountability Act has nothing to do with what is listed in this act. The real reason is to further penalize Syria for its position in the Middle East conflict. Syria is already being penalized for its position in the Middle East conflict. We have a part of our territories occupied by Israel. The people who belong to those Golan Heights were forcibly expelled from their homes and from their farms. They are still refugees in Syria, but also we have 500,000 Palestinian refugees that were also forcibly expelled from their homelands. We have them in Syria. Of course, not only us. Lebanon suffers from another refugee problem. Jordan, Egypt, everybody suffers. However, there are two underlying reasons. One is to further penalize Syria. The other one is those who designed this act and actively promoted it would like to see Syria further and further weakened while it's facing an intransigent Israeli bullish attitude in the Middle East. Of course, I can't deny the fact that this legislation is an astounding success for what we call a very special interest group. Everybody knows which group I'm hinting at. It is an astounding success for this group that managed to make the American foreign policy towards the Middle East, to take it as a hostage and change it into a tool to use it, not for the benefit of Israel, but for the benefit of the war camp in Israel. It's not a hidden fact. Everybody knows that in Israel you have two camps, the peace camp and the war camp. And as I will tell you later, most of the Israelis who belong to the peace camp were frustrated with the so-called Syria Accountability Act. They think it's a bad act, and I will elaborate on this later if time permits. So what I'm trying to say is this: the American Syria Accountability Act is the embodiment of how a special interest group has succeeded in making the American foreign policies a hostage to their special interests, very narrow interests. Regardless of what they say, regardless of what the Congress decides and signs, regardless of what sanctions the U.S. administration decides to apply or not apply, Syria has a very clear vision towards the United States. This vision is based on the following. First, we are not the enemies of the United States. However they try to represent us as the enemies of the United States, we will not fall into this trap. We are not the enemies of the United States. We have never ever been the enemies of the United States. Yes, we disagree with policies of the United States administration vis-a-vis the Middle East conflict. Amazingly enough, we do not disagree with the principles that the United States always repeat when they talk on principles. Everybody knows that the United States always advocates a peaceful resolution of the Middle East conflict. They advocate an independent Palestinian state. They talk about their vision for a Middle East absolutely free from all weapons of mass destruction. We do not disagree with their vision. What we actually disagree with the United States is on how they apply their policies, what we call in our region the double standards approach to the Middle East. We still believe in Syria that the United States of America is the only feasible broker for a Middle East peace. We know that it is right now not considered by the Arab people, nor by lots of Americans themselves, nor even by lots of international leaders as a fair and honest broker of peace for the Middle East. But it is the only broker with leverage. What we hope to do is to positively and constructively engage with the United States towards taking them back into what they have a moral responsibility towards. The United States is the unique world superpower. And with this privilege they have, the United States has a responsibility. The United States has to work towards a peaceful resolution of the Middle East conflict. A peaceful resolution that will allow all people to live in security and peace, but also in dignity and with their legitimate rights guaranteed. Who should really be blamed in the Middle East? I don't know. I'm not going to tell you who. You have to guess by yourselves. But I will remind you of one thing. Syria is not responsible for the vicious circle of violence that is happening on daily basis in the Middle East that has been happening for at least the past 50 years. We did not occupy somebody else's land. We did not uproot olive trees. We do not send our bulldozers to demolish houses. We do not send our Apaches and our jets to destroy houses and kill people. Which is most important, we do not control the destiny of another nation by virtue of our sheer military superiority. We do not do this. Somebody else is doing this. Somebody else is causing terrible frustration and despair by another group of people that are reacting to the conditions, the intolerable conditions they are living under. Anyone with fairness would look at the troubles in the Middle East and would easily see that these troubles are not caused by Syria. So if somebody is really interested in Washington, D.C. to call for an accountability act, well, look at the culprit, look at the reasons, look at the conflict itself, look at the violence in the Middle East, and be honest and fair and see and admit who is responsible for this situation. Right now, as everybody knows, the leaders of the Arab world are preparing for a summit meeting in Tunisia. And as everybody knows, 2 years ago when we had the last Arab summit meeting in Beirut, all Arab leaders met in Beirut and they came out with a historically unprecedented initiative towards Israel in which all Arab states offered Israel immediate recognition, exchange of diplomatic missions and relations, total recognition in exchange of our occupied territories and a free, independent, viable Palestinian state. Everybody knows that on one hand, Sharon rebuffed this immediately with the events that happened next day in Jenin. But on the other hand, we failed as Arabs, and I'm criticizing ourselves now. We failed in promoting our initiative, in making our voice clearly heard throughout the world, and especially here in the United States, where we are drastically misrepresented and misinterpreted. However, up to my knowledge, the Arab leaders will re-emphasize and re-enhance their vision for the Middle East and Tunisia. And right now, the leaders of the three major key players in the Middle East conflict, the leaders of Syria, Egypt, and Saudi Arabia, as you probably have already heard because of the news, are consulting with each other towards a successful new peaceful initiative in Tunisia. Meanwhile, and this is really preposterous, meanwhile, here in the United States, with due respect, the administration is considering which new sanctions should we apply on Syria. Amazingly enough, in parallel to this, the Israeli government still goes deeper and deeper into the territories of the West Bank and Gaza, building their ominous wall, making new enclaves. Even officials at the State Department that I have met here in Washington last week were expressing as clearly as possible their anxiety about the tremendous negative impact this wall will create in this region and the terrible reactions that this wall will instigate. One country is actually doing things in the region that will cause more and more violence and bloodshed. Another country is trying to relaunch a peace initiative, and guess who is busy in Washington trying to apply more and more sanctions on which country? I leave this to you. I'll tell you in parties to ostracize one party and be seen as the greatest ally of another party. You cannot. This will never happen. If the United States really want peace, then it must engage with all parties. Let me remind you, at least in the past 10 years, twice Syria and Israel were on the verge of signing a peace agreement. The first time was with Yitzhak Rabin, but he got assassinated. I'm making this as brief as possible. You already know this better than I do. Netanyahu became the new prime minister of Israel. Everybody knows that Netanyahu refuses the principle of land for peace. We waited a little bit longer, and then Barak came. He became the prime minister of Israel. We immediately were engaged in peace negotiations, lengthy, detailed peace negotiations. Once more, he lost his elections. Sharon became the prime minister of Israel. Everybody knows what is the premise of Sharon. He believes that by showing force, those Arab will respect us and sign a peace treaty. We will just bang them and bang them, and everything will be fine. I will bring security and peace to the Israelis by pushing so hard on the Arabs so that they will succumb. The fact is that more Arabs and Israelis have been killed since Ariel Sharon became the prime minister of Israel as compared to any other prime minister in the history of Israel. More Israelis and more Arabs. Second question. Everybody hears today about how the United States is actively involved in promoting its image in the Arab world and the Islamic world, because the United States thinks that the problem is we did not present our image well in the Arab world. This is why the Arab people and the Muslim people are frustrated with the United States. I don't think that the Syria Accountability Act would help what is called the public diplomacy initiative in the United States. I don't think that the Arab people are so stupid that by seeing Al Hurra TV, they would say how beautiful and how good the United States is. Although they are applying more and more sanctions on Syria, although the Apaches are being used on daily basis in the West Bank and Gaza, yet really the United States is really our dear friend, and it's all about how bad Al Jazeera is, who is trying to convince us that the United States is not an honest broker in the Middle East. I think if really the United States wants to engage in a public diplomacy initiative towards the peoples of the Arab world, then it really has to reconsider the actual acts and deeds it is adopting on the ground. I was reading some articles this morning in American press about how the Arab people, not the governments, I'm talking about, are so skeptic towards the so-called Greater Middle East initiative. For a simple reason, they don't trust the United States. They don't think that the United States is really interested in anything to do with the good and advancement of the Arab people. I'm not claiming that this is the case. I'm just telling you this is the feeling, the perception in the Arab world. I was taught here in Washington that perception is what counts, not the reality, because perception becomes the reality. If really the United States wants to improve its public relations with the Arab people, then it really has to change the way it is being perceived. Syria Accountability Act does not help this. Does the United States really want to help really want to fight terrorism? Let me remind you of a simple fact. Syria was one of the first countries in the world to help the United States in countering terrorism that is linked to extremism and extreme fundamentalism in the Middle East. We actually, and this is a well-known fact, we actually provided information to the CIA on Al-Qaeda. If really the United States is interested in fighting Al-Qaeda, I don't think the Syria Accountability Act will help further cooperation between Syria and the United States on this. I'm not blackmailing, I'm not telling you anything. I'm not telling you even we will stop helping the United States. We fundamentally believe that terrorist organizations should not be allowed to do anything to anybody. And this is what we have actually been doing. And this is being recognized here in the State Department. The State Department has actually sent a document admitting that Syria has helped save American lives. Finally, Is the United States really interested in seeing the Middle East free of all weapons of mass destruction? Well, at least they have a partner they can engage with in Syria. We are the country that went to the Security Council of the United Nations Organization and submitted a resolution demanding that the Middle East be absolutely free from all weapons of mass destruction. Guess who is opposing this resolution, draft resolution? It's the United States itself. Guess why? I don't know. Ask them. Which country stockpiles the largest nuclear, biological, and chemical arsenal in the Middle East? Everybody knows the answer. However, what we are trying to do in Syria is we are telling the United States, you have declared many times, not at once, that it is your national interest to see this Middle East free from all weapons of mass destruction. Let's work together on this. Let us do whatever is deemed necessary to free the Middle East from these weapons. We are still waiting for the response. We never got a response. The only response we got was a statement by United States representative at the Security Council saying, this is not the right time. Okay, when is the right time? We are still waiting to see when is the right time. Having discussed the U.S. position, I will discuss why I personally believe, without patronizing Israel, that the Syria Accountability Act is even bad for Israel itself. First, let me remind you that the Israeli public opinion is divided. When President Bashar al-Assad launched a peace initiative towards Israel 3 months ago, and it was immediately rebuffed by Sharon, if you go and read Haaretz, Jerusalem Post, Ma'arif, lots of articles and editorials appeared throughout the Israeli media saying that was a terrible mistake. We should not have lost yet another historic opportunity to resume peace negotiations with Syria. Even the skeptics in Ma'arif said, even if Syria is bluffing and they are not serious about peace, we should engage. We should not lose another historic opportunity. But they did. I will remind you that lots of Israeli politicians, I will quote one Israeli historian and professor, Moshe Moaz, who said, I'm quoting him, I am against the Syria Accountability Act. What is useful for Israel is to engage Syria in negotiations, not to use the Congress towards more and more sanctions against Syria. I'm quoting an Israeli person. I'm not quoting an American Jew or a Syrian or an Egyptian. This is an Israeli professor at the Hebrew University and a historian with lots of books. Finally, Syria Accountability Act is bad for Syria. I know that economically it's not really that bad for simple reasons, because the United States does not give aid to Syria. Very, very few companies work in Syria. Actually, there is only one company that is that actually has projects in Syria, which is ConocoPhillips. It works in the oil field. It will be leaving Syria because of this act. The French, the Russian, even your allies, the British and the Dutch, are very happy. They are already negotiating with the Syrian government to replace the Americans. I'm not trying to say, look, it has no effect. It has a terrible effect on Syria. The effect is a political effect. We really are dismayed in Syria because of this blind bias and this arrogant attitude towards the problems in the Middle East. So yes, it does damage Syria because we do not think that it is useful for Syria to be portrayed in the United States, especially across the public opinion, as a pariah state that is really needs to have sanctions applied on it. So of course Syria is upset by the Syria Accountability Act, but we will not negotiate anything towards it. We will not discuss it with our American counterparts. We still have a working relationship with the United States. All diplomatic channels are still open. We still discuss things across the spectrum, the political spectrum. We will never discuss the Syria Accountability Act with them. It's their choice. They want to apply sanctions. They do not want to apply sanctions. This is the American choice. We still want to work constructively with the United States administration. This is our political attitude. Time-wise? 3 minutes and a half, she said. Okay. I really don't want to talk a lot. I think I have presented as briefly as possible our reading of the so-called Syria Accountability Act. I repeat that I do not think that this is being useful. I do not think that this is even serving the national interests of Israel. It's only serving the interests of a special party in Israel. That's it. And I'll tell you a personal experience. I have met with lots of congressmen and senators who have actually signed and voted for the Syria Accountability Act. Every single one of them is still on a personal level, as a congressman or a senator, is still willing to engage with Syria. Actually, 2 days ago, 5 distinguished senators went to Damascus and met with President Bashar al-Assad. All 5 have signed the Syria Accountability. But when I meet with these people, they always are very, very keen on telling me the following. And I'm quoting what they told me. Please do understand that the reason we signed the Syria Accountability Act has everything to do with internal and domestic issues. It has nothing to do with our beliefs and viewpoints vis-a-vis the Middle East conflict. I'm quoting them. I'm not telling you what I believe. Thank you very much.